In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verse 8, there's this challenge, or says bear fruit in keeping with repentance. That's what I want us to look at today. We are called to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. The NIV states that produce fruit in keeping with repentance. So this denotes that there is part of it that is in it. We have to do. We have to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. John the Baptist, his message in those days, as we read in scripture, was direct, was uncompromising. And the same message, similarly, Jesus repeated so many times. Jesus used to say to people, repent. But John called people to repentance as a preparation for the coming Messiah, the one who was going to come, which is higher than him. And similarly, Christians and all peoples, we are challenged, we are called today to repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And I know we've been saying this is 2025, so we've been hearing this for over 2,000 years. So evidently it's nearer than it was 2,000 years ago. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. You see, when the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which is like we, similar to us believers today, because the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were the ones who worshipped. They were the ones who knew, who were known for worshipping. John challenged them. He said, Matthew, in verse 7 of Matthew 3, Matthew 3, 7, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the divine wrath and judgment to come? So, produce fruit that is consistent with repentance, demonstrating new behavior that proves a change of heart and a conscious decision to turn away from sin. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. This is crucial today to us today. It's a crucial question for us today, is that what does repentance look like? It says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. What does repentance look like? What does genuine repentance look like? Genuine repentance is more than just words. It's not just saying, I'm sorry. The I'm sorry is the beginning of it. But even that, Jesus said, we should say 70 times, 70 times in one day. Which means that just saying, I'm sorry, is not enough. It's just the beginning of the change. Repentance is more than just that. It's a transformed life that bears evidence of the change of heart. Repentance must show fruits, produce fruits. In essence, the fruits of repentance must be visible. They are visible. They're evident in a changed life. In a life that's no longer defined by sin. And it's not just fallow. It's not just empty. But shows a commitment to God and to his way, to the ways of God. The changes in a person's life that demonstrate true repentance, genuine repentance, is a turning away from sin and facing God. And these changes are not just mere sorrow, I'm sorry, but it's a transformation in behavior, a transformation in character, a transformation in heart, change heart. While sorrow from sin is part of repentance, yes, it's the beginning of the repentance. It should lead to a change in behavior. It shouldn't remain just as a feeling. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
True repentance requires humility. in Psalm 51, verse 17, David writes, "The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, that's broken with sorrow for sin, thoroughly penitent. Such, O God, you will not despise." A broken heart, a contrite heart, that is what God wants. God will not despise you if you have a broken heart, if you have a penitent heart mind. Repentance produces visible change. It's evident as from what I've been sharing this morning. There has to be visible change. Visible change. John didn't just say repent. He said produce fruits. Bear fruit. Fruit is the outward evidence of the inward transformation that follows an inward repentance. Repentance is from the heart. And it doesn't just stop there, because the heart is the engine of all our emotions and actions. So if there's a transformation in your heart, it has to work outwards. It has to work outwards to be seen, to become evident. I just want to share very briefly some key aspects of the fruits of repentance. Number one, there must be a change in behavior. This behavior is like you're going in this direction and you turn into the other direction. You're going in that direction. Oh, that way is not good. You don't stop going forward in that direction. No, that's not full repentance. You don't just stop going in that direction. You also start to go in the other direction. You start to move towards God. You have to move in the ways of God. There's a passage in Revelations where Jesus said, "You are neither hot nor cold." So he's about to speak the people out from himself. So you don't, in repentance, it's not just, "Oh, that's not the way I should go, so I'm just going to stay here." No. You go the way you're supposed to go. You turn. It's a change. It's a change in behavior. Active. Turning away from sinful actions. Embracing a life that reflects God's teaching. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
True repentance, number two, is a changed heart. That involves a deep inward change of heart. "Change my heart, O Lord. Let me be like you." And in Proverbs, we also say that the path of a Christian is like a light that changes and becomes brighter and brighter and brighter until it comes to full day. There's a change of heart that's going on, and that's true repentance. It's beyond outward actions. It's deep inside you. It's a change of heart which translates into a change of attitude. A changed heart. There must be a change in the heart. Thirdly, true repentance must show good works. The fruit of repentance is often manifested in acts of love, kindness, generosity, and loving service to others. This is just short list. You act in love. You love your neighbor. You have a kind heart. Your works are acts of kindness to people. You start to demonstrate kindness to people. You start to demonstrate and move and walk in generosity towards other people. You become generous with your time. Generous with your essence, with your money, with your efforts. You become generous towards people. good works is part of the root fruits of repentance. You begin to be willing to serve others, to render your service to others freely. It's part of the fruits of repentance. Fourthly, you begin to live in accordance with God's will. So, you don't just stop going in that wrong direction, you turn around and go in the new direction, living in accordance with God's will. Because repentance should lead to a desire to line up one's life with God's commandments and teachings. And where you know it's not right, you line it up. You line it up. And that's to lead to confessions and restitution. Because sometimes repentance may involve confessing sins, making amends for past wrongs. It's all part of true repentance. Change of behavior, change of heart, doing good works, living in accordance with God's will, confessions, restitution, making amends for past wrong. These are all fruits of true repentance. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I just want to use some biblical examples here. Let's look into Luke chapter 19. Luke 19. And I'll be reading the first 10 verses. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man called Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector. And he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was, but could not see because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran on ahead of the crowd and climbed up the sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus reached the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." So Zacchaeus hurried and came down and welcomed Jesus with joy. When the people saw it, they all began muttering in discontent, "Oh, he has gone to be the guest of a man who is a notorious sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "See, Lord, I am now going to give half of my possession to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I will give back four times as much." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this household, because he too is a spiritual son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Zacchaeus didn't just feel bad. He didn't just regret all the bad he's done. He didn't just stop going in that direction. He actually turned around. He repaired those he had cheated. He restituted. It came from his heart. Genuine repentance. The fruits of genuine repentance is evident here. Nobody asked Zacchaeus to return a penny. But the fruits of repentance works in that way. Because he repented, there was that which worked in him to want to make amends as much as possible. The new direction in which he was going could not align with having cheated and still keeping all of that. So he wanted to restitute. He wanted to make amends. True repentance. The fruits of true repentance. Another example is the prodigal son. Now the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, and who'd gone and took his father, his own portion of his inheritance, and went and used it, and then he was suffering so much, he was even having to eat with pigs. Then when he repented, and then he repented, and he said, "I will." In Luke 15, verse 18, he said, "I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Just treat me like one of your hired men." So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion for him, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to his father, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." True repentance leads to actions. But he started to regret when he felt sorry, and he started to go back to his father's house. But when his father saw him, moved with compassion, he embraced him. At that moment, the son was filled with an understanding of the love again that the father had for him, which he had sort of lost touch with. He was overwhelmed again with the love of the father. Similarly, you and I, when we repent, and anybody, when they repent and come back to the Lord, and they are filled with the compassion that, wow, this is God loves us. This God loves me. It always leads to a new one, a new heart, a change, a desire to please God, a desire to follow in his ways. Hallelujah. You see, if I've got these things here. If you repented of gossip, like you used to gossip, and you've repented and you don't want to gossip no more, you don't just keep quiet. That, your speech has to change. You are no longer going to say, "Oh, hello, did you hear what happened there?" That's not, your speech is not going to be so much of that. If you repent of greed, then generosity grows, you become generous. There's a change. Fruit of repentance. The fruit of repenting of greed is generosity. If you have pride and you repent of pride, you begin to seek reconciliation. People who you thought were below you, you begin to seek reconciliation with them. Fruits of repentance. So it brings me to James 2, what James said in James 2:17, faith without works is dead. Likewise, repentance without fruit is empty. Repentance has to show fruits. You know, true repentance prepares us for Christ. John's baptism was a baptism of repent for the forgiveness of sins, because it was pointing to Jesus. And our true repentance today still prepares us for Christ. We repent to come to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
You can't come to Christ if you haven't repented. That means that you still have a sin. But you repent and you're forgiven. Glory be to God. Repentance is pointing us to Jesus. It's drawing us to Jesus. There is no sin that is too much that Jesus will not forgive. But when we repent, we come near to Jesus, because we turn. We change our ways. False repentance is not good. That was what happened to Judas. It really not repented. Because some people weep over sin, but they don't turn from the sin itself. And the beauty of true repentance is that it leads to freedom. Hallelujah.
Amen.
False repentance leads to death. True repentance leads to liberty and freedom. John's message, John's word, produced fruit in keeping with repentance is still relevant today. Let's examine our hearts. Are there any unconfessed sin in your life? Are you relying on religion rather than a relationship with Jesus? Are you bearing fruit? Is your repentance evident in your actions? In forgiving? In love? In obedience? Is your repentance evident through those fruits? Let's look to Jesus. Jesus did not just demand fruit, that when we come to him, he produces that fruit in us. When we abide in him, then the fruit is produced in us. The fruit of the Spirit. Part of what we were looking at in our Bible study, you should come to Bible study, and the fruits of the Spirit will become evident, like repentance has a fruit, and it becomes evident. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So bow our heads this way, share this prayer. Lord, search our hearts. See if there is any iniquity in us. Take it away from us. Any hardness, take away from us. And lead us in your way everlasting. Where there is hypocrisy, convict us. Where there is sin, cleanse us. Help us not just to say, I repent, but to live like we have. May our lives bear fruit that glorifies you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.